Hey, 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 it's Winlow with Nema,
Angel,
and Koya.
Today's lesson is very practical and much needed. It is by far the most important lesson I've taught my grandchildren. How to teach spiritual warfare to your kingdom kids in 3 simple steps. Yes, it's a great lesson today. So come on back. We'll see you on the inside. Winlow! We got Monday, Tuesday, Winlow, Winlow. Thursday, Friday, Winlow, Winlow. Right in the middle, baby, Winlow, Winlow. Come join the Winlow crew, Winlow, Winlow. Right in the middle, baby, Winlow, Winlow. Yeah! It's Wednesday.
Time for another choke.
Another choke. What did the blanket say to the bed? Don't worry, I've got you covered.
Y'all, I'm gonna head out the door, okay?
I love it! Welcome to Winlow with Nema.
And Joe.
I'm Krista here, aka Nema. I'm an evangelist, learning coach, mom of 2, and Nema of 3.
I'm Josiah. I'm a Lego builder, second grader, and called by God to be a Christian warrior.
Hey there, Grandma. If you're searching for biblical strategies to train your kingdom kid, you're in the right place. Deuteronomy 4, 9, and 10 tells us to teach our children and grandchildren to obey God's commands. So if you're ready to win low, why not laugh on Wednesday? We'll provide you with practical tips to laugh and live.
Love and learn.
While inspiring you to build a legacy as well. So chillax.
Grab a snack and enjoy the podcast.
So we're sitting here today, Nema, Joe, and
Koya.
We will share with you how to teach spiritual warfare to your kingdom kids in 3 simple steps. Number 1, we will share stories. Number 2, ask questions. Very important. And then number 3, teach them the word of God. These 3 simple steps. So listen closely. So today we're sharing some of our experiences with spiritual warfare and want to share how we were able to overcome. For the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So we'll start with you, Josiah. You want to share some things that have happened to you in your short 8 years?
I had sleep paralysis 2 times all night.
2 times in one night?
Yes.
2 times in one night. Can you explain to us what that was like?
It was like I just couldn't move, and it was like I was singing 2 different realms. Because I could see my mom sleeping on one hand, and then in the other, it was like my mouth was muzzled. I was floating over candles.
You're floating over candles? Uh-huh.
And in that moment, I was like, I was trying to wake up my mom. And I can feel myself trying to move and push her so she can wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got out of the dream out of breath. So, yeah.
So when you told your mom about it, or I know when you told me about it, we immediately went into prayer, and the purpose of it, because we recognized that was a spiritual attack. And we know the Bible says in Matthew the 12th chapter, let me grab that right quick. It says that while we are asleep, that's when the enemy comes in and wants to disturb our dreams, or in our dreams, that's where he wants to get us to come into an agreement with what he's trying to do. So Matthew 13 chapter the 25th verse says, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So the enemy's tactic is to try to get you off your course, give you another dream, give you different ideas and suggestions for you to come into agreement with what he sowed in your sleep, during your unconscious state. If you know they were like the ones you had where you were floating over candles, you immediately say, oh, I do not agree with this dream. Or tell your mom about it. Or tell me like you did. And I walk you through, no, we do not come into agreement with that dream. That is not of God. But sometimes you need to ask God God, was this dream from you? And then you will know whether to come into agreement with it or not. Koya, you have something to say?
Yes, I can attest to exactly what you're saying. I have a lot of dreams when I sleep. Mm-hmm. So it's like if I'm in the midst of a dream and I wake up in the middle of the night and are able to play back the last minute of the dream, and I say, is this something that's going to benefit God or benefit me or bring me close to the gods? If this of God, if it's not, I immediately say, I cancel this dream. I don't know what the dream is about, but may it not come to pass, or whatever is standing against is not against me. I immediately cancel it out right then and there and upon my awakening, and just turn over and go back to sleep if I'm going back to sleep. Mm-hmm. But immediately cancel it.
That's good. That's good. And I'm so glad you are aware of that so that you can help Josiah when he's having a dream and can share that with him. You know, I did not know when I was a young mother and I was a married young mother. Things were happening in our household that I had no idea. It just wasn't taught in our local church. You know, we grew up in a Baptist church. Mm-hmm. It wasn't taught. I didn't know. So when Josiah, your Uncle Maine, started having nightmares and
seizures,
I can remember, I still remember, while we were driving on our way to the movies, right?
Yeah, we're on our way to the movies. Mm-hmm. See, Little Nicky was some Adam Sandler.
You still
movie.
Remember?
Yes,
the movie?
I do. Because we couldn't go see the movie because he had to take Maine to the hospital.
Well, let me tell the story.
Okay, go ahead.
So anyway, your Uncle Maine was about 8 or 9, and we were driving to the movies. He was in the back seat of the car. I was driving, and he was attempting to talk, to speak, but he couldn't. The words wouldn't come out, and his words were slurred. He was saying, like, "Ma, I can't," you know. He was trying to tell me he couldn't speak. He wanted to speak, but he couldn't. And that was the beginning of him having some neurological disorder, imbalance, yeah, or disorder. So when I took him to the emergency room, because I said surely he couldn't be having a stroke,
right,
you know, at that young age. But they were saying he was having seizures. And then your dad, my ex-husband, yeah, he confirmed that he had seizures around the same age. His mom told him that he had seizures around the same age. That should have been a red flag right there.
But you see, I think it was handed down.
Yes. But we'll get into that later. But he was put on medication for his seizures, and I remember he did have a few more after that. Mm-hmm. Now, this was maybe back in April, March or April, because I do remember him having on coats or jackets. Mm. But later that year, I remember in 2003, now this could have been 2002 when it happened, but I remember when in 2003, when he was on his way down south to our family reunion, he had left his medication at home and he didn't take it on a daily basis while we were there. That must have been the course of maybe 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
But I remember when he got back home, I said, "You will not take another dose of this medicine." And that was the last time he took it, and he has not had seizures since then.
No.
But what may have brought that on, and I clearly remember this, is that when he was in maybe second or third grade, I want to say, that his teacher called the house. We didn't have cell phones. She actually dialed the home phone, and she asked me if my son could read Harry Potter books. Now, I didn't know anything about Harry Potter books. I later learned that they were
demonic
books. Yeah, and they taught about
witchcraft,
yeah. And the author, she clearly tells you that it's all about the wizards and witchcraft and mm-hmm. that. And that sparked that. That was the catalyst for all of that. It was after he had read these Harry Potter books, and he loved them. And it was a series of books he had been reading. And that's when the seizure started. And that's when the nightmares came. And
all
of that.
Because you don't know what you're reading. in those books, the people make it seem like, oh, just a fiction book, but they have spells in there that they read, that they say, just as well as when you watch TV, I mean, watch the movie, you watching it and you seeing it, and then it's like, but when you read the book, you seem to know each character a lot better, because those are not thin books, those are some thick books, and you're so, right, and you're so in tune in the books, and you're saying everything that they're stating, but you don't know what you're saying, and that's one way that you can be misled, because like I said, the lack of knowledge, you not knowing what you're reading.
Because we have to be careful. We have to guard our ear gates, our eye gates, what we consume, what we listen to, what we read. We have to guard all of that, because we can be, we could be opening the door for Satan to come in. Because these are his little tricks, his schemes, his little strategy. When the Bible says, do not be ignorant concerning the wiles of the enemy, of the devil, this may be one of the ways. Now, other ways we know is if you're in sin and you're still in sin and you refuse to come out of sin, you have opened the door to the enemy. Satan has become your master. For in Romans, the 6th chapter, starting with the 16th verse, it says, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. So we have a choice in the matter. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when we choose, when we decide, we make a conscious choice to stay in sin. We don't want to give it up, even though we know it's wrong. Satan becomes our master. He becomes our master. And so we have opened the door to him and just said, come on in. Remember we read that scripture in Genesis about sin is crouching at your door? That's what sin does. Satan is waiting for you to open the door, because he's right there waiting to come in. But don't give place to the devil. Yield not to temptation. That means when the Satan gives you an idea, a thought, don't yield to it. Because before it ever becomes sin, before you ever fall into sin, you have to be tempted first. And he tempts you by saying, Josiah, you should do this. And remember you told Nama that it was like you had a voice on this side saying one thing and a voice on the other. And we know the voice of God. If we are his, a stranger we will not follow. So for you to be at your age, just remember, you know right from wrong. You know the voice of God. Don't follow the voice of the enemy. Don't follow the voice of the devil, because you give him inroads. You open the door and he becomes your master. And you are a slave to unrighteousness, a slave to disobedience, because you chose to follow after him, the devil, okay? So that's one way I can explain it. I can remember as a child, and this was many years ago, but I can remember that in dreams, just like you, Josiah, Satan always wanted to muzzle my voice, never wanted me to speak. So things happened in my childhood where I didn't want to talk because I was afraid. I was afraid that no one would listen to me. I was afraid that no one would believe me. It was to the point where I just didn't want to talk about anything. And Satan does that purposely. If he can plant some type of
fear,
yes. If he can plant some type of fear in you at a young age, that's what he tries to do. Any type of trauma that will cause you to clam up, any type of fear.
He usually put that on the forefront of your mental to keep it as a reminder to keep you hostage from doing something that is of God, but also something that to move you forward. He want to keep you stagnant, because to move you forward means that he will no longer be in control.
Yeah. So any kind of traumatic experience, it's fear. He uses fear. That's his greatest weapon, fear. Anything to keep you from strengthening your faith in God, because you know your faith is voice activated. when you have faith in God, you will speak those things according to the will of God. You will act upon those things. And that sleep paralysis, like that dream you had, and you were tied up and muzzled, that's all an act of Satan. That's one of his tools, tricks he uses to keep you bound by fear. But when you have the courage to say, Jesus, remember Jesus, it's a whole prayer, just calling on the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I taught you, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Jesus, help me. Jesus, save me. Those are all prayers. Mm-hmm. The blood of Jesus. That's
He's
enough.
He's waiting on you to call on
yes.
His name.
And just like you have some demons assigned to you, you also have your angels that are there waiting for you to speak the voice of the Lord. The Bible says there are angels, ministering angels, waiting for the voice of the Lord. The Bible declares in Psalm 103:20, that the angels who excel in strength, that do his commandments, they hearken unto the voice of his word. So if we're speaking his word, the angels, they're waiting to go on assignment to make sure that every word that you have spoken come to pass. Because that's how powerful our words are. That's what wielding the sword means. Speaking the word of God. You understand, Josiah?
Yes.
Yes. So when we say, put on the whole armor of God, and when you put on the whole armor of God, you go into praying. When you have on his armor and when you have the sword of the Spirit, don't just hold the sword. You have to wield the sword.
You gotta use it.
Use it. Okay? The word in action. The word wielding like this. Just like you were describing to me, you wield that sword. Mm-hmm. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Wield that sword.
Like your green and gray sword at home. Mm-hmm.
That's your word. The word of God says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts of and attitudes of the heart. So if no, you know nothing else, Josiah, the word of God is alive, it's active. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It says in the King James Version of Hebrews 4:12. Also, John 6:63 said, these words I speak to you, this is Jesus saying, they are spirit and they are life. What can be the harm in speaking the word of God? Do you see any harm in it, Josiah?
No, I don't.
You don't? Call
I don't,
you.
I don't
Thank
see
you.
It. I don't see
it. It can only be good.
Yes, only be
speaking
great.
The word of God. It's alive. It's powerful.
It's life.
It's life.
Bread
and
bread.
We are spiritual. So when we speak the word of God, we're speaking life.
Yes.
Into us, over our situation. We're speaking life.
Yes.
Just like when God told Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, you know. He said, speak to them. Speak life to them. Mm-hmm. Prophesy into them. So we have to be mindful to speak life in every situation. Speak life. If the word of God is powerful, it is more powerful than the devil.
Yes, it is.
In my last episode, I just said that Jesus already defeated the devil. So we can speak life. So I just want you to know, whatever situation you find yourself in, and you may not understand, even your kingdom kids may not understand, grandmas, but teach them the word of God at an early age. Just start teaching them scriptures so they can speak life over any situation. Teach them that. Koyo, what do you have to add?
And to add to that, I can testify that one thing that my mom made sure that I was able to recite at a young age with the Lord's Prayer. I could recite that backwards and frontwards and side to side.
Mm-hmm. And that was a model prayer, but it was a model to show you how to pray to God.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I do remember, and I remember doing this often. I bought you guys notebooks for you to write your scriptures.
Yes.
I would tell you, go write 5 scriptures down. And sometimes I would give you the scriptures to write, but I can recall, that's how you remember your scripture, casting all your cares upon God. Where is that scripture found?
1 Peter 5 and 7.
5 and 7. Because you wrote scriptures in your book. Josiah, that's why I have you write scriptures down. Because when you write them down, you will remember them. You will remember them by heart. You will understand and know them. But you won't forget them.
Won't forget.
It's so powerful writing down scripture. Whether you memorize it or not, you know where to find it. But the more and more you write it, you will memorize it. Yes,
and you learn to use it as a sword.
So if you knew nothing else, you knew God cared for you, Koya. Yes. And you knew you could cast all your cares upon Him.
Yes.
Because He cares for you. So, grandmas, again, teaching spiritual warfare is just as simple as, until your child is of age, start teaching them scriptures. Reading scriptures to them if they are not of age, and allow them to memorize it. You can always go back to our episodes 30 and 31, How to Teach Your Kingdom Kids the Bible, parts 1 and 2. That would be very helpful. But we must be proactive in teaching our children the Word of God and how to use the sword. That's our only offensive weapon to defeat the enemy and his tactics. So I hope this has blessed you. Teaching your children spiritual warfare is as easy as teaching them the Word of God. So we hope that we have inspired you to talk with your kingdom kids, talk with your children, your grandchildren, ask them questions. Ask them if they have had any dreams. Yeah. Ask them what, because I ask you questions all the time, right, Josiah? All the time. Even when you were like 3 or 4 years old, I would ask you, what is the Lord speaking to you? What is He saying to you?
Yeah.
Because as children, they hear God more clearly. They have a heightened sense of discerning of spirits because they have nothing else to filter out. And as children, that's why God tells us to have childlike faith. All you know what God is speaking to you. That's all you know. What He's speaking to you, what He's saying to you. Again, talk to your child. Talk to your kingdom kid. Ask all kinds of questions to find out what's going on. Ask what happens at school. Because the enemy will try to use kids at school, other classmates, right, Josiah? Mm-hmm. Josiah had incidents at school.
Yeah.
He would even use teachers. He would use anybody that submitted to him because he have control over them. And while you're thinking, this is another thing too. Satan uses people. And it's not the person. We discussed this before. It's not the person who you love and admire, but it's the spirit operating in that person. So to recap, grandmas, to teach spiritual warfare to your kingdom kids, make certain to share stories, ask questions, and teach them the Word of God. Three simple steps to make certain they overcome any spiritual attacks. To understand better, you can listen to episode 36, Spiritual Warfare. This lesson taught by Pastor Linda Powell, very excellent description of spiritual warfare, what it is and how we are to fight. And then Spiritual Warfare Revealed in episode 37. So if you are a believer, that you need not be bothered. You need not be concerned with the enemy and his tactics. If you are a sold out believer living in the spirit, these are two sides of the pendulum. But what happens when you're a backslidden believer and you are stuck in sin? We are defeated for lack of knowledge because we are rejecting the knowledge that we can be free from sin. We can live in the spirit in our new nature and be free from the grips and the chains of sin. Amen.
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 Hey there, Winlow crew. Before you leave, if this podcast has blessed you in any way, please, please, please support us by leaving a review and subscribing to our channel on Apple Podcasts. We will personally read every one of them. We also invite you to join our Winlow community
at bit.ly/WinLow Community. The link is in the show notes. And remember to make this daily affirmation found in Isaiah 54:13. All my children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of my children. We'll meet you in the next episode. Bye for now.